That wrench falls right to the floor, just as if the submarine weren't weightless. He looked off into space, tapping a pencil on the desk. What you describe is similar to the way we treat patients with severe skin damage, like burns on Earth. But it doesn't give any support to the internal organs, the way the acceleration shells do, so it wouldn't do Mary Gay any good. I stood up to go. Sorry I wasted. Hold on there, though, just a minute. We might be able to use your idea part way. How do you mean? I wasn't thinking it through either. The way we normally use the shells is out of the question for Mary Gay, of course. I didn't like to think about it. It takes a lot of hypno-conditioning to lie there and have oxygenated fluorocarbon forced into every natural body orifice and one artificial one. I fingered the valve fitting embedded above my hip bone. Yeah, that's obvious. It'd tear her. Say, you mean low pressure? That's right. We wouldn't need thousands of atmospheres to protect her against 5G's straight-line acceleration. That's only for all the swerving and dodging. I'm going to call maintenance. Get down to your squad bay. That's the one we'll use. Dalton will meet you there. 5 minutes before injection into the collapsar field, and I started the flooding sequence. Mary Gay and I were the only ones in shells. My presence wasn't really vital, since the flooding and emptying could be done by control. But it was safer to have redundancy in the system. And besides, I wanted to be there. It wasn't nearly as bad as the normal routine. None of the crushing, bloating sensation. You were just suddenly filled with the plastic-smelling stuff. You never perceived the first moments when it rushed in to replace the air in your lungs. And then there was a slight acceleration. And then you were breathing air again, waiting for the shell to pop, then unplugging and unzipping and climbing out. Mary Gay's shell was empty. I walked over to it and saw blood. She hemorrhaged. Doc Wilson's voice echoed sepulchrally. I turned, eyes stinging, and saw him leaning in the door to the locker alcove. He was unaccountably, horribly, smiling. Which was expected. Dr. Harmony's taking care of it. She'll be just fine. Chapter 6. Mary Gay was walking in another week, confraternizing in 2, and pronounced completely healed in 6. 10 long months in space. And it was army, army, army all the way. Calisthenics, meaningless work details, compulsory lectures. There was even talk that they were going to reinstate the sleeping roster we'd had in basic, but they never did, probably out of fear of mutiny. A random partner every night wouldn't have set too well with those of us who'd established more or less permanent pairs. All this crap, this insistence on military discipline, bothered me, mainly because I was afraid it meant they weren't going to let us out. Mary Gay said I was being paranoid. They only did it because there was no other way to maintain order for 10 months. Most of the talk, besides the usual bitching about the army, was speculation about how much Earth would have changed and what we would do when we got out. We'd be fairly rich. 26 years' salary all at once. Compound interest, too. The $500 we'd been paid for our first month in the Army had grown to over $1,500. We arrived at Stargate in late 2023, Greenwich date. The base had grown astonishingly in the nearly 17 years we had been on the Yod 4 campaign. It was one building the size of Tycho City, housing nearly 10,000. There were 78 cruisers, the size of Anniversary or larger, involved in raids on Torren-held portal planets. Another 10 guarded Stargate itself, and 2 were in orbit waiting for their infantry and crew to be out-processed. One other ship, the Earth's Hope 2, had returned from fighting and had been waiting at Stargate for another cruiser to return. they had lost two-thirds of their crew, and it was just not economical to send a cruiser back to Earth with only 39 people aboard. 39 confirmed civilians. We went planetside in two scout ships. Chapter 7 General Botsford, who had only been a full major the first time we met him, when Stargate was 2 huts and 24 graves, received us in an elegantly appointed seminar room. He was pacing back and forth at the end of the room in front of a huge holographic operations chart. "You know," he said too loud and then more conversationally, "you know that we could disperse you into other strike forces and send you right out again. The Elite Conscription Act has been changed now. 5 years subjective in service instead of 2. And I don't see why some of you don't want to stay in. Another couple of years and compound interest would make you independently wealthy for life. Sure, you took heavy losses, but that was inevitable. You were the first. Things are going to be easier now. The fighting suits have been improved. We know more about the Torrens' tactics. Our weapons are more effective. There's no need to be afraid." He sat down at the head of the table and looked at nobody in particular. "My own memories of combat are over a half century old. To me, it was exhilarating, strengthening. I must be a different kind of person than all of you." "Or have a very selective memory," I thought. "But that's neither here nor there. I have one alternative to offer you, one that doesn't involve direct combat. We're very short of qualified instructors. The force will offer any one of you a lieutenancy if you will accept a training position. It can be on Earth, on the Moon at double pay, on Charon at triple pay, or here at Stargate for quadruple pay. Furthermore, you don't have to make up your mind now. You're all getting a free trip back to Earth. I envy you. I haven't been back in 15 years. We'll probably never go back. And you can get the feel of being a civilian again. If you don't like it, just walk into any UNIF installation, and you'll walk out an officer. Your choice of assignment. Some of you are smiling. I think you ought to reserve judgment. Earth is not the same place you left." He pulled a little card out of his tunic and looked at it, smiling. "Most of you have something on the order of $400,000 coming to you, accumulated pay and interest. But Earth is on a war footing, and, of course, it is the citizens of Earth who are supporting the war. Your income puts you in a 92% income tax bracket. $32,000 might last you about 3 years if you're careful. Eventually, you're going to have to get a job, and this is one job for which you are uniquely trained. There are not that many jobs available. The population of Earth is nearly 9 billion, with 5 or 6 billion unemployed. Also, keep in mind that your friends and sweethearts of 2 years ago are now going to be 21 years older than you. Many of your relatives will have passed away. I think you'll find it a very lonely world. But to tell you something about this world, I'm going to turn you over to Captain Siri, who just arrived from Earth. Captain?"
"Thank you, General." It looked as if there was something wrong with his skin, his face, and then I realized he was wearing powder and lipstick. His nails were smooth white almonds. "I don't know where to begin." He sucked in his upper lip and looked at us, frowning. "Things have changed so very much since I was a boy. I'm 23, so I was still in diapers when you people left for Aleph. To begin with, how many of you are homosexual?"
"Nobody."
"That doesn't really surprise me. I am, of course. I guess about a third of everybody in Europe and America is. Most governments encourage homosexuality. The United Nations is neutral, leaves it up to the individual countries. They encourage homo life, mainly because it's the one sure method of birth control." That seemed specious to me. Our method of birth control in the Army is pretty foolproof. all men making a deposit in the sperm bank, and then vasectomy. As the general said, the population of the world is 9 billion. It's more than doubled since you were drafted, and nearly two-thirds of those people get out of school only to go on relief. Speaking of school, how many years of public schooling did the government give you? He was looking at me, so I answered. 14? He nodded. It's 18 now. More if you don't pass your examinations, and you're required by law to pass your exams before you're eligible for any job or Class 1 relief. And, brother boy, anything besides Class 1 is hard to live on. Yes? Hofstetter had his hand up. Sir, is it 18 years public school in every country? Where do they find enough schools? Oh, most people take the last 5 or 6 years at home or in a community center, via holoscreen. The UN has 40 or 50 information channels giving instruction 24 hours a day. But most of you won't have to concern yourselves with that. If you're in the force, you're already too smart by half. He brushed hair from his eyes in a thoroughly feminine gesture, pouting a little. Let me do some history to you. I guess the first really important thing that happened after you left was the Ration War. That was 2007. A lot of things happened at once. Locust plague in North America, rice blight from Burma to the South China Sea, red tides all along the west coast of South America. Suddenly, there just wasn't enough food to go around. The UN stepped in and took over food distribution. Every man, woman, and child got a ration booklet, allowing them to consume so many calories per month. If Tha went over their monthly allotment, Tha just went hungry until the first of the next month. Some of the new people we'd picked up after Aleph used Tha, their, them, instead of he, his, him, for the collective pronoun. I wondered whether it had become universal. Of course, an illegal market developed, and soon there was great inequality in the amount of food people in various strata of society consumed. A vengeance group in Ecuador, the Imparciales, systematically began to assassinate people who appeared to be well-fed. The idea caught on pretty quickly. And in a few months, there was a full-scale, undeclared class war going on all over the world. The United Nations managed to get things back under control in a year or so, by which time the population was down to 4 billion. Crops were more or less recovered, and the food crisis was over. They kept the rationing, but it's never been really severe again. Incidentally, the general translated the money coming to you into dollars. Just for your own convenience, the world has only one currency now, calories. Your $32,000 comes to about 3,000 million calories, or 3 million Ks, kilocalories. Ever since the Ration War, the UN has encouraged subsistence farming wherever it's practical. Food you grow yourself, of course, isn't rationed. It got people out of the cities onto UN farming reservations, which helped alleviate some urban problems. But subsistence farming seems to encourage large families, so the population of the world has more than doubled since the Ration War. Also, we no longer have the abundance of electrical power I remember from boyhood, probably a good deal less than you remember. There are only a few places in the world where you can have power all day and night. They keep saying it's a temporary situation, but it's been going on for over a decade. He went on like that for a long time. Well, hell, it wasn't really surprising, much of it. We'd probably spent more time in the past 2 years talking about what home was going to be like than about anything else. Unfortunately, most of the bad things we'd prognosticated seemed to have come true, and not many of the good things. The worst thing for me, I guess, was that they'd taken over most of the good parkland and subdivided it into little farms. If you wanted to find some wilderness, You had to go someplace where they couldn't possibly make a plant grow. He said that the relations between people who chose homo life and the ones he called breeders were quite smooth, but I wondered. I never had much trouble accepting homosexuals myself, but then I'd never had to cope with such an abundance of them. He also said, in answer to an impolite question, that his powder and paint had nothing to do with his sexual orientation. It was just stylish. I decided I'd be an anachronism and just wear my face. I don't guess it should have surprised me that language had changed considerably in 20 years. My parents were always saying things were cool, joints were grass, and so on. We had to wait several weeks before we could get a ride back to Earth. We'd be going back on the anniversary, but first she had to be taken apart and put back together again. Meanwhile, we were put in cozy little 2-man billets and released from all military responsibilities. Most of us spent our days down at the library, trying to catch up on 22 years of current events. Evenings, we'd get together at the Flowing Bowl, an NCO club. The privates, of course, weren't supposed to be there, but we found that nobody argues with a person who has 2 of the fluorescent battle ribbons. I was surprised that they served heroin fixes at the bar. The waiter said that you get a compensating shot to keep you from getting addicted to it. I got really stoned and tried one. Never again. Submajor Stott stayed at Stargate, where they were assembling a new strike force, Alpha. The rest of us boarded the anniversary and had a fairly pleasant 6-month journey. Cortez didn't insist on everything being capital M military, so it was a lot better than the trip from Yod 4. Chapter 8. I hadn't given it too much thought, but of course, we were celebrities on Earth. The first vets home from the war. The Secretary General greeted us at Kennedy, and we had a week-long whirl of banquets, receptions, interviews, and all that. It was enjoyable enough, and profitable. I made a million Ks from Time Life Facts. But we really saw little of Earth until after the novelty wore off and we were more or less allowed to go our own way. I picked up the Washington monorail at Grand Central Station and headed home. My mother had met me at Kennedy, suddenly and sadly old, and told me my father was dead. Flyer accident. I was going to stay with her until I could get a job. She was living in Columbia, a satellite of Washington. She had moved back into the city after the Ration War, having moved out in 1980. And then failing services and rising crime had forced her out again. She was waiting for me at the monorail station. Beside her stood a blonde giant in a heavy black vinyl uniform with a big gunpowder pistol on his hip and spiked brass knuckles on his right hand.
"William, this is Carl, my bodyguard, and very dear friend."
Carl slipped off the knuckles long enough to shake hands with surprising gentleness.
"Pleased to meet you, Mr. Mandela."
We got into a ground car that had Jefferson written on it in bright orange letters. I thought that was an odd thing to name a car, but then found out that it was the name of the high-rise Mother and Carl lived in. The ground car was one of several that belonged to the community, and she paid 100K per kilometer for the use of it. I had to admit that Columbia was rather pretty. Formal gardens and lots of trees and grass. Even the high-rises, roughly conical jumbles of granite with trees growing out at odd places, looked more like mountains than buildings. We drove into the base of one of these mountains, down a well-lit corridor, to where a number of other cars were parked. Carl carried my solitary bag to the elevator and set it down.
"Ms. Mandela, if is all right with you, I gots to go pick up Ms. Freeman in like 5. She over West Branch."
"Sure, Carl. William can take care of me. He's a soldier, you know."
That's right. I remember learning 8 silent ways to kill a man. Maybe if things got really tight, I could get a job like Carl's.
Rightio, yeah, you told me. What's it like, man?
Mostly boring, I said automatically. When you aren't bored, you're scared. He nodded wisely.
That's what I heard. Ms. Mandela, I'd be available any time after 6, rightio?
That's fine, Carl. The elevator came and a tall, skinny boy stepped out, an unlit joint dangling from his lips. Carl ran his fingers over the spikes on his knuckles, and the boy walked rapidly away.
Guts to watch out for them riders. Take care of yourself, Ms. Mandela.
We got on the elevator and Mother punched 47.
What's a rider?
Oh, they're just young toughs who ride up and down the elevators looking for defenseless people without bodyguards. They aren't too much of a problem here. The 47th floor was a huge mall filled with shops and offices. We went to a food store.
Have you gotten your ration book yet, William?
I told her I hadn't, but the force had given me travel tickets worth 100,000 calories, and I'd used up only half of them. It was a little confusing, but they'd explained it to us. When the world went on a single currency, they'd tried to coordinate it with the food rationing in some way, hoping to eventually eliminate the ration books. So they'd made the new currency Ks, kilo calories, because that's the unit for measuring the energy equivalent of food. But a person who eats 2,000 kilocalories of steak a day obviously has to pay more than a person eating the same amount of bread. So they instituted a sliding ration factor, so complicated that nobody could understand it. After a few weeks, they were using the books again, but calling food kilocalories calories in an attempt to make things less confusing. Seemed to me they'd save a lot of trouble all around if they just call money dollars again, or rubles, or sesterces, or whatever. Anything but kilocalories. Food prices were astonishing, except for grains and legumes. I insisted on splurging on some good red meat, 1,500 calories worth of ground beef, costing 1,730 K. The same amount of fake steak made from soybeans, would have cost 80K. I also got a head of lettuce for 140K and a little bottle of olive oil for 175K. Mother said she had some vinegar. Started to buy some mushrooms, but she said she had a neighbor who grew them and could trade something from her balcony garden. At her apartment on the 92nd floor, she apologized for the smallness of the place. It didn't seem so little to me, but then she'd never lived on a spaceship. Even this high up, there were bars on the windows. The door had 4 separate locks, one of which didn't work, because somebody had used a crowbar on it. Mother went off to turn the ground beef into a meatloaf, and I settled down with the evening facts. She pulled some carrots from her little garden and called the mushroom lady, whose son came over to make the trade. He had a riot gun slung under his arm.
"Mother, where's the rest of the star?"
I called into the kitchen.
"As far as I know, it's all there. What were you looking for?"
"Well, I found the classified section, but no help wanted." She laughed.
"Son, there hasn't been a help wanted ad in 10 years. The government takes care of jobs. Well, most of them."
"Everybody works for the government?"
"No, that's not it."
She came in wiping her hands on a frayed towel.
"The government, they tell us, handles the distribution of all natural resources, and there aren't many resources more valuable than empty jobs."
"Well, I'll go talk to them tomorrow."
"Don't bother, son. How much retirement pay you say you're getting from the force?"
$20,000 a month. Doesn't look like it'll go far."
"No, it won't. But your father's pension gave me less than half that, and they wouldn't give me a job, Jobs are assigned on a basis of need. And you've got to be living on rice and water before the employment board considers you needy.
Well, hell, it's a bureaucracy. There must be somebody I can pay off. Slip me into a good...
No. Sorry, that's one part of the UN that's absolutely incorruptible. The whole shebang is cybernetic, untouched by human souls.
You can't. But you said you had a job.
I was getting to that. If you want a job badly enough, you can go to a dealer, and sometimes get a hand-me-down.
Hand-me-down? Dealer?
Take my job as an example, son. A woman named Haley Williams has a job in a hospital, running a machine that analyzes blood. A chromatography machine. She works 6 nights a week for $12,000 a week. She gets tired of working, so she contacts a dealer and lets him know that her job is available. Sometime before this, I'd given the dealer his initial fee of $50,000 to get on his list. He comes by and describes the job to me, and I say, fine, I'll take it. He knew I would, and already has fake identification and a uniform. He distributes small bribes to the various supervisors who might know Miss Williams by sight. Miss Williams shows me how to run the machine, and quits. She still gets the weekly $12,000 credited to her account, but she pays me half. I pay the dealer 10% and wind up with $5,400 per week. This, added to the $9,000 I get monthly from your father's pension, makes me quite comfortable. Then it gets complicated. Finding myself with plenty of money and too little time, I contact the dealer again, offering to sublet half my job. The next day, a girl shows up who also has Haley Williams identification. I show her how to run the machine, and she takes over Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Half of my real salary is $2,700, so she gets half that, $1,350, and pays the dealer $135.
She got a pad and a stylus and did some figuring.
So the real Haley Williams gets $6,000 weekly for doing nothing. I work 3 days a week for $4,050. My assistant works 3 days for $1,115. The dealer gets $100,000 in fees and $735 per week. Lopsided, isn't it?
I'll say. Quite illegal, too, I suppose.
For the dealer, everybody else might lose their job and have to start over if the employment board finds out. But the dealer gets brainwiped.
Guess I'd better find a dealer while I can still afford the $50,000 bite. Actually, I still had over $3 million, but planned to run through most of it in a short time. Hell, I'd earned it. I was getting ready to go the next morning when Mother came in with a shoebox. Inside, there was a small pistol in a clip-on holster.
"This belonged to your father," she explained. "Better wear it if you're planning to go downtown without a bodyguard."
It was a gunpowder pistol with ridiculously thin bullets. I hefted it in my hand. "Did Dad ever use it?"
"Several times. Just to scare away riders and hitters, though. He never actually shot anybody."
"You're probably right that I need a gun," I said, putting it back. "But I'd have to have something with more heft to it. Can I buy one legally?"
"Sure. There's a gun store down in the mall. As long as you don't have a police record, you can buy anything that suits you."
"Good. I'd get a little pocket laser. I could hardly hit the wall with a gunpowder pistol."